Hey, it's John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. This is the Fairfield County Live and Local Podcast. My guest today is the band Zillowatt, Hartford band. I've seen these guys a bunch of times. They've got a new EP out right now. It's called Lizard, L-Z-R-D. That's on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find your music. I really enjoyed talking to these guys. Want to say very quickly before the episode starts, this is another pre-coronavirus episode. So if you're wondering why we're not talking about the pandemic, it's because it was February of 2020 and none of it had happened. So it's Zillowatt right here on Fairfield County, live and local, powered by the Sono Collection.
Hey, Tony. Never heard a thing to do.
Never heard it put better.
All right, man. It's Fairfield County, live and local. I'm John, 95.9 The Fox. I got Zillowatt with me. It came all the way down from Hartford. Thank you for that.
Much appreciated.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Much appreciated. All right, so new EP is coming out. I was listening to the old one, but the key difference between the old album, right? Because we call that a full album, the 2019 self-titled one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 18, rather, sorry. The key difference there is the new band member. And I want to go back and I want to talk about the beginnings of the band and all of that stuff. But actually, Matt, if you want to field this one, talk about, you know, coming into a band that was kind of doing the power trio thing and what you brought to the band. Because from what I heard of the first album to the stuff you sent me, and also just like I've seen you live two or three times. I think I saw you at the Birdman. I saw you at the Acoustic, and it's two very distinct sounds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, right. Just talk about Matt coming into the band and how that influenced your influence.
Yeah. So
get right up on that mic, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I originally met Blake here at an open mic in East Hartford. And he said we played a couple of tunes, and he said you should come to a practice week. We could use like a saxophonist and a keyboardist and stuff. And I was like, yeah, dude, totally. So I went down, and it was totally like instant chemistry for real. Mm-hmm, they showed me definitely. A couple of the tunes, and I was all about it from like the get go. And we did a handful of like two or three like trial gigs basically, and then. It was like the summer of 2018 or something like that. I was doing a summer job and I was kind of like half in and half not, but I committed fully to the band once the summer was over.
Sweet.
And, I write stuff. I write music, and I had some stuff that I had on the shelf from that before I met them. And I brought a couple things to the table and, eventually became, like a full-time contributor to the writing and stuff. And yeah, I was very intrigued originally by like the combination of the fusion sound, but also very much there's a hard rock element too.
Yeah.
Which definitely shines. And I wanted to add, cause my thing since I was a kid, basically, well, not a little kid, but like high school age, teenager.
Sure.
I was into jazz from a very young age. Into R&B, specifically Stevie Wonder, from a very young age.
Yeah.
And also into progressive rock.
Like, I didn't want to be presumptuous, but yeah. I was going to say, like, listening to the two albums, there's such a clear jazz influence on your more recent stuff and just seeing you play more recently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not that the three of you guys couldn't already hang in that in that genre already, yeah. But, like, you know.
Well, you know, it was always there. And that's part of the thing that I realized from the beginning is that there was always a jazz element there. It's just easier to bring it out when you have a horn player and when you have somebody on keys. It's easier to, bring out that sound. Because the key to certain genres is the instrument that's most common in the genre. Yeah. Like I've always loved progressive rock and bands like Yes and Genesis and stuff like that, but. I've had trouble duplicating that sound, but then when I joined these guys and met Blake and stuff like that, Blake's able to do that, and that's a very cool, you know, tool to have, and you know, having a great rhythm section behind you too, it's a great combination, and so you know, so from when I was a kid, I wanted to combine the jazz and the soul elements with the prog elements and kind of put that together, and when I met these guys, it was like, I can do this now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, and it, especially when you talk about Prague, I feel like there's always a danger of it doesn't groove. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
when you get too into complexity and too into, mm-hmm. you know, time changes, mm-hmm. there's a groove that gets sacrificed there. But I feel like, especially with the influence of you three guys with what you had on your old EP, the self-titled one.
Sure. Yeah.
I keep saying EP, I should say album. That's obviously was never going to go away. I mean, I'd imagine you two guys being the rhythm section would never right. sacrifice that. Mm-hmm. So it is. It's cool to hear that new element coming yeah. in. And just how much it changes yeah. it. Did you guys see the meme? I forget. Someone posted it on one of the Facebook jam pages of all the different like bands that frequent PST.
Yes.
And they
yes.
were all a yeah. Simpsons character.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's a buddy of us. Yeah. Shout out to Ralph Lennon.
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. entire life. And the character of Lisa's saxophone too. What's his name in the Simpsons? Do you remember?
I don't remember the guy's name. I have yet to go through The Simpsons. One day I'll sit down and watch. Like,
that's all right. There's only like 48
yeah.
seasons.
Yeah,
it won't take you too
but
long.
I can't episodes. Remember the guy's name, but yeah, I was talking to one of our friends' bands, Cabin Fever, who mm-hmm. was also involved in that one.
I just saw them last night. They're doing that residency.
Yeah,
at
they were like, yeah, you guys got the best one, man. What are you laughing about? It was all a joke, you know. But
you did though.
Yeah, yeah, but like they you know, yeah. and they got yeah. the guy.
We gave Ralph $50.
Well, yeah, just because there's cabin in the name. I mean, there's only so many references you can make, you know. But like, shout out to Cabin Fever.
Definitely,
those guys kill it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
when this episode airs, I'll post that on the 95.9 the mm-hmm. Fox Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was great. Well, and it did. It made sense, especially mm-hmm. with what I've heard of you guys live recently. But let's go back a little bit more. So it was originally a trio with the three of you guys. How did that all come together?
Yeah, so we all went to the University of Maine in Orno, and me and Connor were music majors, and he was one of the only guys who played, like, we were in a classical music program at mm-hmm. the time, and I was always, like, more into the jazz and, like, improv kind of stuff, and, like, sure enough, found out about this guy over here who yeah. played electric bass because, you know, it was hard to find somebody who was actually jamming on that stuff, like, back in the day in our classical program.
Yeah. Right.
They're like, Connor plays upright, he might play electric, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, check him out.
So, found him. And before that, though, me and Nate had been in a band. Like, yeah. How did we? I met you at an open mic in college.
We met at an open mic in our college dorm
yes.
in the basement.
That's awesome.
I was jamming with some random guys. and who were you? It was like Blake was jamming with some random people, and I was jamming with some random people.
Yeah.
And both of our bands sucked. except for each of us. And we were like,
yeah, I was like,
dude,
what is
we should start
guy,
a band.
What is this
shout
guy
out
doing?
To those bands as well.
Yeah, I had brought
shout outs
my
to the bands that
yeah.
suck.
Somebody's gonna
no,
shout
it was
them
good.
Out.
But I had brought my drums up to college with me for mm-hmm. no other reason than starting a band. And mm-hmm. within like 2 weeks, I had met Blake, and then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We
well, and bringing a drum kit into a college setting, especially you said you were a freshman, right? This is your first year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dangerous game you're playing right there.
It was
dude.
A rough move. I had him like raise my bed up so I could store it underneath my bed and sacrifice yeah. like half my room. Yeah.
And where are you like? When and where are you going to practice too? That's the other thing.
Oh,
so fun story about yeah. that. We used to blow up the basement of our dorm, like to the point where it was literally like. We were vibrating the first floor. And
we would go down there three nights a week,
yeah,
religiously, and play for like 2 or 3 hours,
yeah.
And we were just playing like basically hard rock at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They instituted a no electric amps policy in the dorms because of us.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
So it's like our original punk rock act.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Not a exactly. punk rock band, but.
Yeah,
I got to jam with you guys once in that basement, right?
Yeah.
After
so.
The
yeah.
glory days, it was like the yeah. next year or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how long is that now for you guys? How long is that like as together as a well, at least as a three piece?
Well, that must have been 2011 or 2012 or something.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
that's been a while for us three anyway.
Coming up on 8 years. coming up on it.
Yeah. Right on.
It's a crazy thought.
And yeah.
So talk about early gigging, because like, had you guys gigged in high school at all? Did you know anything about that? Because I remember my first band in college, I had no idea. The first time I actually got a band that was good and that I was like, okay, let's go out and let's do some stuff. Mm-hmm. How did you approach that, especially being under 21?
Oh yeah.
How do you get started?
Yeah. Well, I started my senior year of high school gigging.
Feel free to grab that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And just started with the whole cover thing, you know. Started doing that whole thing and yeah, most of the time I would just keep it under wraps about being under 21, you know. Yeah, wouldn't really say nothing.
So you went right to bars and you were like,
yeah,
"Hey,
I was
we'll
writing
play
with
you.
Bars and yeah.
This
I mean,
like Northern Maine.
Northern Maine, yeah.
So. Sure.
Right.
Like, sure.
Which is part of the reason that we all ended up moving out of Maine is just because we had all the gigs at like a certain point. There's only so many places you could play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because you're going to oversaturate at a
yeah,
certain point.
Yeah,
and you
exactly,
can't. You know.
Exactly.
How in the middle of nowhere in Maine is it? Because like you can be like, Maine can be fun. Like that can be like a, you know.
Yeah.
But then it can also be really in the woods. How in the woods were you guys?
Oh, we weren't too. I mean, Bangor, Maine, which is like.
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
I grew, yeah, I grew up yeah. outside of Bangor. You were farther up than I was, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, in the place that we were playing,
yeah.
at, you know. Cause, but.
And wait, now how many of you guys are Connecticut natives though?
Just Matt.
Just Matt.
Just yeah. Matt. Yeah.
So what brought you three guys down here specifically? Because that's an interesting move to me. I didn't know that. I assumed at least one or two of you guys outside of Matt were CT natives.
Yeah.
Because you're out of Hartford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, yeah.
yeah. yeah. And you have been for a few years now?
3 years, let's say.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's not a random move by any sense, but okay, like explain that thought.
I guess we figured we were going to be halfway between Boston and New York. We can
smart
yeah.
both
of those. Yeah.
That's smart.
Exactly.
We knew we wanted to get out of Maine. We didn't know where we wanted to go. We discussed going to like Asheville, North Carolina, or Austin, Texas, even. But then we found this house in Hartford that seemed perfect. We were just kind of looking at Hartford randomly and, figured it would have more going on down there than there was going on up in Maine.
Yeah, sure.
Which is true. I mean, depending where you go, Portland, Maine's got a really good music scene.
Yes, it does.
There is a ton of good music in Maine. It's just harder to find. And we wanted to go somewhere where we could gig more,
right.
have better access to different spots. So
being from out of state, and Matt, you can chime in too, just from being the in-state guy. what are your impressions of the Connecticut music scene? Because there, I noticed personally just from playing that Hartford and like the Hartford Northern CT area and down here, and even the shoreline on the East Coast have very separate and distinct vibes. And I almost feel like you guys fit a little bit more with the Southern vibe, but I could be wrong about that. Thoughts?
I think that in the Hartford area, it's very specifically like funk and soul music, whereas when you get further south, you get into New Haven and stuff like that, there's more rock. There's a bit more rock in addition to the funk and stuff.
Really?
And that's I don't know. I mean, that's what I would say, just cuz like the like West End Blend, the
yes.
band that plays at Arch Street every week. I mean, they can do anything. They're amazing musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, those guys are very much like funk guys.
Yeah.
I would say.
Oh yeah, yeah no, yeah. that's I mean, yeah, that's a bit, you know. Big brass
yeah.
band R&B
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
kind of sound, but it's funny though because I like, you know, when I was up there and I went to school at Eastern,
okay,
I'm a fair amount older than you guys. I graduated in 2009,
okay.
2010, 5 year plan. Shout out to the 5 year plan. But I noticed a ton of hard rock acts up there
mm-hmm.
that I didn't see when I kind of moved down to the Fairfield County area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like it seemed to me that like down here, especially, you know, Black Rock where I live and
mm-hmm.
everything, there's a big Grateful Dead influence.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say that. Yeah.
Ton of jam bands that kind of come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, I mean, yeah, you've if you've had it,
I don't have the most experience in the world because I actually moved away for a while. I went to college in Boston, and then
did you go to Berkeley?
I did go to Berkeley.
You went to Berkeley. Of course you did.
I did go to Berkeley, and then I went. I lived in.
I respect that he didn't say it right away.
Yeah, right. Right.
He's a humble guy.
And
until somebody else said it.
And he didn't say Berkeley College of Music. Do you ever notice how like a lot of guys will say the full names? Yeah, like, dude, we know.
Yeah.
We know what you meant.
But and then I moved to Denver for a couple of years with some friends because I had a band previously. Shout out to Origami Crane, my dudes in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're in Brooklyn now. But we all moved out to Colorado, and I was in Colorado for 2 years, and the music scene out there is like singer-songwriter people. Folky type people,
really,
you know, with like a little bit of a country twinge and stuff like that, you know, offshoots from places like Portland and Seattle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the punk aspect too. Not a lot of funkier stuff. Unless you get to like the top, there's a handful of guys like the Motet and stuff like that.
Yeah,
are based
they're
out
awesome.
There.
They are awesome.
Yeah,
they're
and
awesome,
they're amazing, yeah. But like from my experience, they were like the minority as far as genres go.
Sure.
So moving back here was actually very refreshing in that for me.
Well, and I guess I can't say that that's surprising to me because I'm the last Connecticut jam band guy who hasn't made an exodus out to Colorado. Mm-hmm. But what about you guys though? Like coming from out of state, coming into CT, what are and have been your thoughts on the Connecticut music scene?
I think it's awesome. We've ran into a lot of great bands since we've been down here, and just being able to be saturated with that, like, and especially over the past year, we've gotten to know like a bunch of people who have helped us get a lot of gigs.
Yeah, the Connecticut scene right now in general is scary, dude. There are so many good bands in Connecticut right now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Right?
Yeah,
man.
So we went from playing, we usually wouldn't even play gigs with other bands in Maine, but it's just like big fish, small pond syndrome where we come down here and there's just like tons of good people, so every time we're playing a show with someone new, like, they're absolutely killer. So we couldn't be happier with the music scene down here, honestly.
Nice.
It's great.
So all right, the first recording, were you guys, or no, timeline wise you would have been down here in CT when you made that first one? Where'd you guys record out of?
So everything's been recorded at our house.
Nice.
Yeah. So we have a band house in East Hartford, like
we
were saying.
Okay.
And I've recorded everything and mixed it and mastered it and everything.
So you're the engineer.
Yes.
Right on. All right. Is that what you went to school for too?
No.
I know you said that you were going for classical music, but like maybe a minor or like a something.
No, I had always been interested in it, and one of our old singers went to a recording program. So like I was in and out of that studio some, and I've always been, like, had an interest on it. But there was one day where I just decided to like dive in. You know what I mean?
Oh God, you guys don't use Ableton, do you?
Yeah. First day, yeah. Shout out to Ableton.
Shout out to Tony.
First record was mixed and mastered on Ableton.
Last year
we did a thing where like every month of the year we put out like a brand new original song.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, with a video too, and Nate did all the video editing and I did all the audio, and and this EP that's coming out is like a culmination of like some of our favorite tracks off of that, like our experience last year. So
sweet.
Yeah.
So all right, so is how many of those did you actually end up putting out? So you said every month it was a new one, right?
Yeah, yeah. We put out 12.
So it was it's a full 12.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's a very like 2020 singles style like way of putting together an album too. That's smart. Oh, that's awesome, man.
It was a lot of work, but we got it done.
Yeah, a lot of deadlines.
Yeah. We also learned a lot from the experience on, like, you know, how to get things done. Every time we did a new one, it got more and more polished. The process got easier.
More streamlined.
Yeah.
We usually had less and less time every month, too. Mm-hmm.
What is your writing process like? Because I know, you know, Matt, you said you came in with song ideas and everything, but is it one person bringing an idea? Does it evolve out of the jam? Is it a combination of both?
Actually, recently it has been a combination of the both, because We've been doing these things that we call, well, Nate dubbed them jam exercises.
Sure.
And it's basically, we call jam exercises, and basically we just, you know, pick somebody starts something, either if it's whether it's a bass line or a groove or just one note or one chord or something, and then just, you know, mess around with that. And we record the majority of the stuff that we you know, create in those instances to see if we can use them later and create song ideas. But also, if anyone has an idea, just bring it under the table.
Sure.
I think Blake and I are the ones that have done the bulk of the here's an idea type stuff.
Okay.
Connor does as well.
I'm an idea hoarder.
Yeah.
I hoard my ideas.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes
until I don't like them anymore.
Sometimes what happens is you have an idea that you have like on the back burner forever. Like,
yeah.
We've got this one tune, that's up on YouTube and Facebook. It's called End Convention, and it was a combination of two chord progressions that I had in my back pocket for a while. Mm. One of them was like 3 or 4 years old, and I just had it laying around, and finally had an opportunity to use it. And that kind of stuff happens, but it's always the arranging process is always a collective thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, man. What about having a new member and going in not a different direction, but just a new direction. You know what I mean? Was that a difficult process? Did that happen quickly? And was that something you guys like invited, or was there a little bit of just like, oh, I don't know if this is like really a Zillowatt tune?
I'd say it happened pretty quick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it kind of gives us all a chance to stretch out a little bit more if we have got a little. When you're not soloing, you're comping and vice versa. So I mean, we've all got a little bit more to play off of. Mm-hmm. Just
Sorry.
You know,
yes. That's the other thing that happened is like with the power trio element, like Blake did you know a lot of the guitar solos and stuff like that, you know, and then when. Another chordal element was added, like if I was playing keys under that, it allows us to build more.
Yes, I can't tell you how amazing it is to have like chords underneath.
I can tell immediately when we started doing that, when I started bringing the keyboard, you know, and started doing that more, and then like Blake started like really like opening up more because he had more to work with.
It is a scary feeling. I've been the guitar player where you're the only melodic instrument in the band, and
it's
like
you have to treat it totally different.
It's a totally different animal.
Yeah.
And your soloing is way different because you have to be so very in.
Yeah. Yes.
It honestly does make all the difference.
But as far as bringing Matt in, though, it was a piece of cake. Like honestly, like we had one tune that was kind of jazzy. It was pretty jazzy, called New Beginning. It's like on our live record. It's like the last, it's the last tune on there. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the first practices we had with him, we were like, oh man, I might have to like tell him the chords. Matt's just like, play it. Just play it. And then he just got it like nothing. And then we were like, all right, we're good. this is solid. Like, so the adjustment phase was easy.
Right on.
Like, yeah.
Well, tell me about these two tracks you sent me, Certifiable and Joe Genius. Why? So you've got 12. You picked these two.
There's only going to be five on the EP.
At the bottom,
actually.
Oh, there's only going to be five on the EP that you're actually
putting
out.
We released 12 on Facebook and YouTube.
Okay.
Over the last year, so these are the only five that are going to go on Spotify.
For now.
All right.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, but still though, that's still just two out of five. What made these two special? What's the story behind these two?
I think that they're just like really catchy, and I think that like as far as like you were gonna play them on the radio and stuff like that. So I figured for a good intro into Zillowatt, it's got some good elements of all of our stuff, you know.
We're the type of guys that like kinda split between having vocals and instrumental stuff.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, yeah.
We do two of our vocal songs.
We do both, and we thought it'd be a good introduction to have the vocal stuff. Generally, when we're doing a show, we'll start with something that has vocals in it,
right.
Unless it's a very specific jam that's good to start with.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, we do because it gets people more engaged, kind of from the get go. And well, with Joe Genius kind of became like our anthem a little bit.
Yeah, you should tell him the story about Joe Genius.
Yeah. So.
Tell me the story about Joe. Dude, you don't have to do that. You can let that. And in fact, if you pull it up and if it's like this, but if you do a little of that, you can find a new angle on it. Yeah.
Sweet.
There's ways. There's ways around it.
So
yeah, tell the story about Joe Genius.
Yeah, okay.
Leave his name out. So that
I don't know the guy's
so
name. I don't know the guy's name.
Oh, I thought his name was Joe. That
no,
was
his
Joe.
Name wasn't even Joe.
Okay,
that's
his name
the thing.
Wasn't Joe. That's good.
Okay,
oh, dude, you can't tell people that.
Well, no, he was.
Maybe it was.
No, he was dubbed.
Yeah.
He was dubbed Joe.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. So, not fast forward. Rewind to the year 2010. I'm a junior in high school, okay. And I went to Hall High School in West Hartford, and we had this stage show that we did every year that involved a big band and a jazz choir and dancers and stuff. And every other year, we would take this trip overseas and tour throughout parts of Germany.
Cool.
A few spots, and we went to Paris and stuff like that. And we had this coach bus that we went around in, and this bus driver who was this German guy. Who was very, he was a big dude. He was like always sweating, and he was always muttering to himself in German.
Mm.
Probably like, yeah, man, I hate my job or whatever. I don't know. He was always, he was moving luggage and stuff. He just seemed like an unhappy dude who
That's not at all terrifying.
Had too many sausages.
Yeah. Cool.
Had too
many sausages.
Yeah. And there were a couple moments where he kind of drove erratically.
Okay.
And he actually like, hit a car at an intersection and drove away.
Nice.
At one point. But the kicker was that we'd stayed in Germany for a bit and had gone over the border to France and were in Paris.
Mm. I like that the hit and run wasn't the kicker. Sorry.
No, the hit and run's not even the kicker. That's not even the kicker. So,
that's great.
Yeah, people were flying out of their seats. Stuff was, yeah. So, my band director who was running the whole thing was already kind of like looking to report this dude for doing a poor job. So we're in Paris, and they said, we're going to give you like an hour to go just hang out in this general vicinity.
Sure.
And then come back to the bus, and we're going to go do something else. So we go hang out and everything, come back to the bus. There's like three or four French police surrounding the bus, and none of us knew what was going on. A couple of the chaperones were like, go away for another 15, 20 minutes or so and come back when this is all sorted out. Turns out this German bus driver guy didn't have the right paperwork to drive into France.
Huh.
So he owed a bunch of money. He like in tickets. And apparently in France, you have to pay on the spot for a ticket. Or at least that's what was going on. That was the situation.
Sure, they were police.
Dude, I don't know, man. I was 17.
I was gonna say that sounds like a great scam.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man.
This
is my first time in the country. I don't know, but they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? You don't have the paperwork," and whatever. So
pulled over by Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, I know. So my band director had to shell out like 300 euros to get them to go away.
Oh my god!
And so we get back on the bus, and granted, so we get back on the bus. And we all get seated and everything, and our band director's at the front of the bus, and he says something like, well, just in case, he was so pissed. He's like, just in case you guys were wondering what happened, Joe Genius over here. So that was it. He dubbed him Joe Genius in that moment. Joe Genius over here didn't have the proper paperwork to be in this country, and I had to just spend a bunch of money to get us out of trouble, and I don't care if he doesn't speak English or not. I would say it to his face. He was so mad. He was so mad.
Man.
And then that just kind of set the tone for this guy's image for the rest of the time.
Joe Genius.
And I had this thought for a long time. It was like, you could turn this guy into a song. Joe Genius. That sounds like a character. And then at some point, this bass line came around. I don't really play slap bass, but occasionally if I'm messing around, I came up with this little thing. And Connor's killer at the slap, so I showed him one day, and he was able to do it justice, and then it became this whole tune. I had a few ideas originally, and then Blake brought this really cool riff into it, and then that became a whole thing, and then we brought this had this breakdown idea, and then just became this whole thing about this bus driver who's literally a genius and is mad at everybody because he's too smart and he's a bus driver, and but he's got poor social skills.
That's
that story.
That's great.
That story is longer than the song itself.
Yeah. And then So that's that.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, well, all right. So what's next for you guys? When's this thing coming out?
March 4th.
Yeah.
March 4th. Nice.
In just under 2 weeks.
And upcoming shows in Fairfield County. Anything coming up in the next couple months? What do you got?
We're playing at the Acoustic February 28th in Bridgeport.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think we're there the following month as well. I think that's it for Fairfield County for right now. Yeah.
We got some. We got an every other Wednesday thing going on in New Haven.
Nice.
Yeah.
At PST, at Pacific Standard Tavern in New Haven, will be there March 4th and March 18th. March 4th, we're going to be doing a Motown tribute set.
Sweet.
Just decided
on the way down here to do that.
Yeah.
And then March 18th over there, we're going to do a Soul Live tribute set.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that should be
good.
That's
ambitious.
And last night, what did we do? We did 70s funk last night.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we did Modesky, Schofield, Martin, and Wood.
Yeah.
Also ambitious.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been like giving ourselves no free time.
Sweet.
Got it done though.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming in. Website, social media, now's the time.
Yeah, Zillowatt.com. We're on there. We're on Facebook at Zillowatt. We're on Instagram at Zillowatt. On Twitter, Zillowatt. _music.
Yeah, we need more Twitter followers.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. We got like,
yo,
we got like
so
14 of those.
Do I.
I don't know how to get Twitter followers.
You need to post your breakfast.
Do we start like tweeting about stuff?
No,
now?
We
like,
post our breakfast
stuff,
every
what?
Day.
Isn't that Instagram though? No, because you got to have the picture
Instagram.
Of
yeah.
the.
Yeah, man, yeah. I am out of touch. You just say stuff on Twitter, right? You say like if you have an opinion, you just tell everybody.
On Twitter,
it.
You use your breakfast as a metaphor for political statement.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember to use hashtag Tag a Joe anytime you listen to
hashtag,
Joe Genius.
Hashtag Joe Genius.
We tried that once.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah, Tag a Joe, so people could just tag people named
tag
Joe.
Tag anybody named Joe.
Because we did a show. It was we were playing.
Especially if they're a genius.
We were doing
Yeah.
We were doing Strange Creek. The festival.
Great festival.
Yeah, okay. So we played that one. And after we played and everything, we were wandering around in the woods. And I can't remember. This dude came up to me, recognized me from the band, and he said, "Hey, you guys are Zillowatt, right? The guys with the song about Joe." And he goes, "I'm Joe." And he was so excited that we had a song that had his name in it.
Guy's
so,
a genius.
Yeah, he is. He's a total genius. He noticed.
It was great.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love how we've slowly turned the word genius into an insult in this industry. That's not easy to do.
Same with Einstein.
Einstein
over here. You never say that in like a polite way.
All right, Zillowatt, thank you guys for coming in, man.
Thank you.
It's Fairfield County, live and local. I'm John. Listen to me, middays on 95.9 The Fox.